Okay, so like imagine you're this tiny harmless bug, right? And all around you are these like way bigger predators just waiting to make you their next meal.
Yeah, it's a tough world out there for some of these creatures.
But what if your only defense was just looking exactly like something that could totally take those predators down?
Ah, you're talking about mimicry.
Bingo. We're diving into the fascinating world of mimicry in nature today.
One of evolution's greatest tricks.
We've got this awesome podcast episode lined up called Nature's Imposters. It breaks down all these different types of mimicry, and I gotta say, I'm already like totally hooked.
Oh, yeah, it's a wild ride once you start seeing the world through the lens of mimicry.
Like everywhere I look now, I'm like, oh, is that moth trying to blend in, or is it like sending a secret message to its enemies?
It really makes you appreciate the incredible power of adaptation.
Absolutely. So before we get into the like really wild examples, let's just start with the basics.
Back to Mimicry 101.
Exactly what is mimicry and why is it such a powerful tool for survival?
Basically, mimicry is when one species evolves to resemble another species.
Like a copycat.
Exactly, or they might even resemble an inanimate object, like a stick or a leaf.
Okay, I'm seeing it now.
The whole point is to gain a survival advantage.
So it's not just about blending in, it's about like actively using your appearance to your advantage.
Precisely, it's about manipulating the way other creatures perceive you, and there are so many ways to do that.
So many different types of mimicry.
Each with its own unique set of advantages and challenges.
Well, you've definitely got me curious now. Let's unpack some of these different types, starting with one that just, I don't know, always blows my mind. Batesian mimicry.
Ah, yes, Batesian mimicry, the classic case of deception in the natural world.
It's like the ultimate bluff.
Imagine a harmless species suddenly sporting the colors and patterns of a creature that's known to be toxic.
Wait, so you're telling me there are creatures out there pretending to be dangerous?
Absolutely, and predators totally fall for it.
So how does that even work? I mean, do they really think they're the real deal?
It's all about instinct and learned behavior. The podcast used the example of the viceroy butterfly.
Oh yeah, I've heard of them. They look a lot like monarchs, right?
Exactly. They've evolved to look almost identical to the monarch butterfly. And as you know, monarchs are known for their toxicity.
Because they feed on milkweed.
Right. Milkweed plants contain toxins that make monarchs poisonous to birds.
So it's like they're wearing a big neon sign that says, like, don't eat me, I'm poisonous.
And the viceroy, even though it's perfectly harmless and edible, benefits tremendously from this resemblance. Birds have learned to avoid the toxic monarch.
So they see the viceroy and they're like, nope, not taking any chances.
Exactly. They instinctively steer clear of the viceroy as well.
That's incredible. It's like getting a free pass from predators just because you look dangerous.
It's a brilliant survival strategy and a perfect example of the power of natural selection.
It makes you wonder, though, like, how did those first few viceroys who maybe only vaguely resemble monarchs even survive long enough to pass on those genes?
It's a fascinating question. It's a dance of chance and adaptation.
Maybe they were just lucky.
Perhaps, but even a slight resemblance might have given them a split-second advantage, just enough time to escape.
So over time, that resemblance just got stronger and stronger.
Exactly. And the viceroy's mimicry became increasingly sophisticated.
So in Batesian mimicry, we've got harmless species mimicking dangerous ones. But what about when multiple species, all of which are dangerous, start to resemble each other?
That takes us into the realm of Mimicrian mimicry, where cooperation takes center stage.
Okay, so instead of one harmless species mimicking a harmful one, we've got multiple harmful species all mimicking each other.
Precisely. It's like they're forming a united front of toxicity.
Safety in numbers.
The podcast used the example of poison dart frogs.
Those tiny, brightly colored frogs.
Exactly. They come in an amazing array of colors and patterns, and these shared signals amplify the warning message to predators.
So it's like they're all saying, hey, we might be different species, but we're all equally bad news.
And that makes it easier for predators to learn to avoid them.
So it's beneficial for all the species involved. They reinforce each other's warnings, and everyone's safer.
Exactly. It reduces the risk for all the participating species.
Okay, so we've got harmless mimics in Batesian mimicry. And a united front of toxic mimics in Mimicrian mimicry. It makes you wonder, are there any other ways mimicry plays out in nature?
Oh, there are far more intricate examples than you might imagine. Some even turn the tables completely, with predators using mimicry to their own advantage.
Oh, wow. Predators using mimicry. No, that's got to be sneaky. Tell me more. So we were talking about predators using mimicry.
Aggressive mimicry.
Yeah, aggressive mimicry. That's just like mind-blowing to me. It's It's like they're not just trying to avoid becoming prey. They're actively using mimicry to hunt.
Evolution at its finest, turning the tables completely.
So instead of trying to blend in or look dangerous, they're actually mimicking something harmless.
Or even attractive to their prey.
It's like setting a trap.
Luring them in with a false sense of security.
Do you have any like really crazy examples of this from the podcast?
Oh, there are plenty. The anglerfish is a classic.
Oh yeah, the anglerfish with that like weird glowing thing hanging in front of its face.
That glowing appendage is the key to its hunting strategy.
I always thought that was just like to attract mates or something.
Nope, it's all about attracting prey.
So in the deep ocean where it's pitch black, that little light looks like a tasty snack to a passing fish.
Exactly. The anglerfish is basically a master of disguise.
So the unsuspecting prey swims in for a closer look, and then bam.
Served.
It's like a glowing death trap disguised as a tasty treat.
And it works like a charm.
That's just, I don't know, it's both amazing and terrifying at the same time.
It really highlights the diversity of mimicry in nature.
And it's not just animals, right? You mentioned plants earlier.
Plants have their own incredible mimicry strategies.
Plants? Really? Like, what are they mimicking other plants?
Some do they blend seamlessly into their surroundings to avoid being eaten.
Okay, that makes sense.
But some plants have taken mimicry to a whole other level, like certain species of orchids.
Orchids? Now, those are beautiful flowers. What kind of trickery are they up to?
Well, some orchids have evolved to resemble female insects.
Wait, what? So they look like bugs?
Not just look like them, they also mimic their scent.
So they're trying to attract male insects. But why?
It's all about pollination.
Okay, I'm listening.
The male insect, lured in by what it thinks is a potential mate, lands on the flower and attempts to mate with it.
And I'm guessing the orchid doesn't exactly reciprocate.
Not quite. While the insect is busy trying to mate, it picks up pollen from the orchid.
And then it flies off to another orchid carrying the pollen with it.
Exactly. The orchid gets pollinated and the insect, well, probably walks away a little confused.
That's just incredible. It's like the orchid is playing a prank on the insect to get what it wants.
It's a brilliant example of how mimicry can facilitate pollination.
So we've got animals mimicking other animals and now plants mimicking insects to get them to do their bidding. It's like nature is a never-ending source of surprises.
And we've only just scratched the surface. There's so much more to discover.
It really makes you appreciate the incredible complexity of the natural world.
And how evolution constantly pushes the boundaries of what's possible.
Oh, so we've explored all these different types of mimicry, but what's the big takeaway here?
Mimicry is a testament to the power of adaptation and the constant arms race of evolution.
The pressure to survive and reproduce is what drives all of this incredible diversity.
And it's not just about individual species. It's about the intricate relationships between species.
The way they influence each other's evolution.
It's a delicate balance that keeps everything in check.
So it's not just about individual species, it's about the entire ecosystem.
Exactly. And mimicry highlights just how interconnected everything really is.
This whole episode has been like a crash course in the amazing world of mimicry. I'm honestly blown away by all these adaptations.
And we've only just scratched the surface. There are countless examples of mimicry still waiting to be discovered.
It's amazing, right? Like you think about that harmless bug trying to survive.
Yeah.
And it's like evolution has given them this incredible secret weapon.
Yeah, it's like a superpower.
And it's not just bugs either, right? We've seen how mimicry plays out all over the animal kingdom.
From butterflies to frogs to fish lurking in the deepest parts of the ocean.
It's like nature's constantly coming up with these new and innovative ways to survive.
And thrive.
You know what's really cool, though? It's how mimicry challenges our idea of evolution being this, like, slow and gradual process.
Mm-hmm. It can happen really fast when it needs to.
Especially when survival's on the line.
Adapt or die.
Right, exactly. And the results are just, I don't know, mind-blowing.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable.
This whole episode has been one big aha moment for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I knew about mimicry, but I never realized how, like, widespread and sophisticated it really is.
And we've only scratched the surface. There are so many more examples out there waiting to be discovered.
That's what's so exciting, right?
Yeah.
There's still so much we don't know about the natural world.
Makes you wonder, like, what other incredible adaptations are out there just waiting to be uncovered?
It's like a giant puzzle. Just starting to put the pieces together.
You know, it makes me think, what if we could learn from nature's mastery of mimicry?
Like, apply it to our own challenges.
Exactly. I mean, imagine taking inspiration from the chameleon's ability to change color.
Oh, wow. That would be incredible.
Could we develop like new camouflage technologies that are even more effective?
Or what about those poison dart frogs? Their bright colors are such an effective warning signal.
Maybe we could design better warning systems for, like, hazardous materials or dangerous environments.
Right, using nature as our guide.
By studying mimicry, we can learn so much about evolution, ecology, and the interconnectedness of life on Earth.
It's a whole new way of looking at the world.
And who knows, maybe we can even use these principles to solve some of our own human problems.
So for anyone listening who's feeling as inspired by this deep dive into mimicry as I am, I encourage you to keep exploring.
Yeah, dive deeper into the examples we talked about or go out and search for new cases of mimicry in the natural world.
There's a whole world of deception, adaptation, and survival out there just waiting to be discovered.
And remember, nature is the ultimate teacher.
So until next time, stay curious.
And keep on diving deep.